good afternoon and welcome to the lunchroom on Radio Caribbean International. And it is Friday, May the 16th, 2025. It's program number 1372 of the lunchroom. I'm your host, Alex George Jr. Now, in addition to our 101.1 FM, you can also get us at our website, rcistlucia.com. And we are up and running on Facebook as well. You just have to search for the official page of Radio Caribbean International. Please be sure to like and share that with your friends and family. If you want to call in to tell us what's on your plate today, the number to do so is 452-3046. And you can also get us at our WhatsApp. That is 724-0008. Now, of course, I want to send out some birthday greetings for today, especially first to Miss Fran Bain. Happy, happy birthday to you, Fran. And we do hope that you're having a fantastic birthday celebration. And, of course, also to Mr. Kenvin McPhee. And I think most people know him now thanks to his work with Julian Alfred and the Olympic team in 2024 over in France. So, happy, happy birthday to you. Hope you're having a fantastic birthday as well. And also to Mr. Morris Alexander, also celebrating his birthday today. Happy birthday. And we are hopefully that you're having a fantastic day. Now, a quick bit of on today. And we're having a few little technical glitches here. Sorry about that in terms of the sound. In the year 1868, on this day, the U.S. Senate failed to impeach President Andrew Johnson by just one vote. In the year 1944, on this day, the first of over 180,000 Hungarian Jews reached Auschwitz concentration camp. And in 1989, on this day, the Soviet President Mikhail Gorbachev and Chinese leader Deng Xiaoping met in Beijing and formally ended a 30-year rift. 2013, on this day, human stem cells were successfully cloned for the first time. Now, today we're going to be speaking about music and entertainment here in St. Lucia. And, of course, we've got some really talented individuals who are making it happen for our island. And I'm so very pleased that I personally know one of them, and he's actually my guest today. Here in the lunchroom, he is Mr. Shane Ross. He's going to be our dish of the day. We'll be right back.
One test for your home, I see. Bathroom, kitchen, pantry. Need tests for your balcony. Come down to Test Plus, satisfaction guarantee. Test Plus, Test Plus, Test Plus. Big test with unbeatable cost. Customer service, A+. Did all kind of tests. Come down to Test Plus. We also got gasway and vanity. Boss, boss, you'll see. Come down, don't mind nobody. We got the best tests on island. Trust me. We are located Land Street in Castries, Bosses, Jules, Grozzy Lakes, and Clark Street in Dufort. Telephone number 453-7939. Test Plus.
Serving now, the Daily Dish.
Now, welcome back to our program here today at the lunchroom. And, of course, we're just coming off the end of the St. Lucia Jazz and Arts Festival. It is perhaps one of the largest of its type in the Caribbean, certainly, and is distinguishing itself as a remarkable festival all around the world. And yet still, of course, we're just on the verge of starting off, kicking off the carnival season here in St. Lucia. And, of course, it's really important that we can showcase our very own through these different events because we've got so much talent in St. Lucia. It is absolutely astounding how a country of 238 square miles and under 200,000 people can be so gifted in so very many ways. And one of the most gifted ones I know, he's right here with me. We've got a very long history being classmates together, going way back in St. Mary's College. And every break time, you know, we had a whole jam session using the teacher's desks as the drum set happening in 2R28 and 3R7 and all those.
1R32.
1R32. It was happening from Form 1, that's true, yes. Yeah. And he is none other than Mr. Shane Ross. Shane, in fact, we've switched roles, it seems.
Yes,
because
yes, we have.
You were reminding me that you actually had interviewed
me. I have interviewed you
once before.
Back in another life.
In another life.
In another life. In another profession.
Indeed. Shane, thanks so very much for joining us here today.
Thank you for having me. It's an absolute pleasure. And congratulations. I mean, 1,377 episodes. That in itself is a fantastic feat. So keep it up and keep doing what you're doing.
Ways to go, though. I mean, that's a daily show, so it's pretty easy to rack up the numbers.
That's true, but it's still, nonetheless, it's pretty impressive at the end of the day.
Thank you.
So to keep doing it for as long as you have and to keep the zeal up and keep the enthusiasm up is very difficult.
It certainly is. Now, of course, and thanks to you, you can help us keep that going indeed.
Yeah, let's hope.
Tell us about some of your projects going on right now, because you just came off, Senusha Jazz and Arts. You were actually emceeing a lot of these different events.
Only two, actually.
Okay.
Yeah, so I did the Ultimate Celebration, which was what's commonly referred to as the Sunday Jazz.
The Sunday Jazz.
I emceed that, yeah. I also emceed the final day of Jazz on the Square.
Okay.
That's with the headliners, the festival band. That's Gregory Piper and his squad putting together what was, for me, a very nostalgic set with music that is underrepresented, in my opinion.
Definitely.
But definitely something that we need to focus on and we need to bring back.
I really want to say that it's a little unfortunate that tradition of Jazz on the Square, which really was a remarkable staple of the St. Lucia Jazz and Arts Festival, I think that little hiatus, between, the years where we didn't have jazz, they've brought it back, but I don't even know if people have realized that it's been brought back. But the level of talent and local content is really superb.
Absolutely.
Really, I think I caught some of it on Thursday as well, and I was really, really blown away.
Absolutely. As with anything else, there are certain logistics that have to be ironed out, I think, more effectively and more efficiently than they were this year. So, for example, you had situations where the start time had to be kind of pushed back to accommodate the church and
there's a funeral going on, right?
Right. Exactly. So issues like that are issues that, again, these things need to be ironed out in the future, but definitely the potential for Jazz on the Square still remains I think it's a very viable option to be more inclusive of jazz. Another thing as well is that the value of it in terms of having a lot of kids who probably otherwise would not have been exposed to a jazz event. So you have Jazz on the Square, not to mention the junior jazz events like that. I think it's the value of these things is something that may not necessarily be realized this year or next year.
It's like
year.
A 20-year
But yeah,
yield,
definitely.
Basically.
Because I could speak for myself and say unequivocally that I'm a product of the St. Lucia Jazz and Arts Festival. Had I not been exposed to performing on that stage and then emceeing and doing various disciplines around the art form, had I not been exposed to that from such an early age, I think my career path would have probably been totally different as to where I'm at right now. But I'm not the only one. I'm just speaking for myself. But for example, the technical teams. I remember when I first started emceeing and being backstage at the St. Lucia Jazz and Arts Festival, most of the team would be foreigners.
They were in charge of the whole production.
And now the people that you see that are the same people that you'd see backstage of the Jimmys, for example, or other events that are being put on. Mm-hmm. I think all in all, we're becoming really good at putting on shows. And at the end of the day, it's about having that translate into something that could be leveraged on a regional level, where I think that St. Lucia has the potential to be the party capital of the Caribbean. And when I say party capital, I'm not speaking about just jazz specifically, but year round. And I think we're well placed to do so because we have jazz, we have carnival, we have June Kuyol, and of course from there you go into the end of the year with Christmas and Thanksgiving and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. So essentially, we can put on events year round and. Yeah, as long as something
it's
viable.
It's a really important point that you're making, also to highlight that there's so many skill sets that have to become
absolutely
together to really make a really impactful experience for persons coming to those types of events. I mean, earlier on, you were just congratulating Hyper, his work.
He was phenomenal
in terms of DJing and for the weekend and what is going on there. And I'm also thinking that, I mean, we also have Maureen. And quite recently I was telling her that, you know, I hope she's got a little bit of a succession plan working with some of the younger, you know, up-and-coming individuals, because emceeing in itself is a really, it's a challenging, you know, undertaking to be on stage. You've got to be at it. You've got to be sharp. You've got to be bringing in wit and humor, and you've got to be so attentive, doing like about 30 things in your mind at the same time.
And on top of that, too, you always have to present that, you know what, everything is under control. No matter what,
right,
what you know is happening backstage, no matter how many heads are being chopped off.
Give me a whole fire.
Yeah, you have to present it to the audience that, hey, everything is good. Don't worry. We're even if we're running a bit behind,
right,
no, that's all part of the plan. That's all part of the show. You know, and it's challenging, but at the end of the day, I think it's kind of what we signed up for. Mm. I mean, if there are stories I could give about certain shows that I've emceed where, you know, it's really and truly, you don't get the information until sometimes
on the show while you're on
at the show, like when you arrive on site.
Right.
You know, I've received scripts when I've arrived on site, and then you have to put things together, and then there are a million and one people shouting. Somebody will come and shout to you, hey, make an announcement that this person's vehicle, you know, this person left their lights on and stuff like that. Man, let me tell you, but at the end of the day, it's about being able to think on your feet. And
Izai does that very well.
Oh, he's legendary.
His extempo background makes him really suited for that.
I think he's one of those gems where I don't know who could.
And I keep on the whole issue about the succession. And the passing on of the baton and the growth.
It's,
so that it certainly is more than just a Shane Ross, more than just an Izai Hall.
I think what happens is that individuals rise to fill whatever void that needs to be filled. Mm. It's something where, as long as people realize that, okay, you know what, to actually be an MC, I can earn a few extra dollars. Unfortunately, I don't think it's at the point where somebody can just say,
live,
you know what,
yeah,
hey, I'm an MC, that's all I do for a living. We're not at that point yet, and I don't know if we'll get to that point because of how small our population
is. From Trinidad, I think. He's got some St. Lucian connections. I can't remember. He does a lot of these.
Errol Fabian?
No, Errol Fabian. Younger guy. He does a lot of these productions for these soca shows and stuff. I can't remember his name offhand, but he seems to be doing a lot of that. Is he a DJ as well?
I'm not even sure who you're talking about, to be honest.
I'm bad with names. But it'll come to us maybe during the break or something. But as it is now, the industry has to grow to be able to sustain
a lot
of that.
But what you find would happen is that, again, somebody would realize that there is potential here to do what, for example, an Izai or somebody of that ilk. As long as somebody realizes that there's potential to do it, you find that there will be individuals who will come through up and, you know, put in the hours.
In fact, just yesterday, I think I was reading an article from highlighting Barbara Jacobs Small, and she used to do a lot of that as well. And she said she's been taking a break, but she actually likes to see how it's evolving.
She's very encouraging. Well. She's one of those people where, you know, like, for example, if I meet Barbara backstage or side stage or whatever, she'll give up a few pointers here and there, and I always appreciate them. She's one of those legendary voices in that sphere as well, in broadcasting and in event hosting. And there's a certain level of class that comes with people like Barbara, and, you know, the way it was done before that, I dare say it's not that it's a dying art form, but I think more people need to look at it from the traditional roots. Right? I have to look at it from, you know what, not everything is a... There's a certain way that you can present it, or that you should present it, that essentially adds a...
There's still standards.
Right? Yes. Things. Well put. Yeah, there's still standards.
Now,
and adhering to those standards is important.
Now, Shane, let's talk a little bit about music, because, in fact, just earlier on, we had a clip where the island's Minister of Tourism was speaking about the need to almost each and every year, reinvent yourself and to ensure that you're bringing something that is new or fresh to the you know, your audience, your population, and I think that really applies to certainly musicians,
absolutely,
and, you know, performers, artists as well. And I mean, it's interesting because I go back to the opening of jazz and Gretchen Wilson and how that whole thing played out with respect to her. You know, it seemed, from what I could gather, that her musical genre had crossed over And she'd become a lot more into country rock. Mm-hmm. But her fans here in St. Lucia were still very much stuck in the past in terms of what they were interested in. So it's an interesting bit of a corollary there, that sometimes, in as much as you want to change, sometimes people are still hooked with your old stuff.
It's about balance. For example, there are certain people who, like, for example, somebody like Usher. If Usher has to do a tour right now, and he's doing that right now, it's what you call a legacy tour, right? Where you have such a huge catalog of classics, well, what are considered classics now, that at the end of the day, he doesn't need to do a new song.
Right.
And he can still tour off of just the classics. And country is one of those genres in St. Lucia where, I mean, I've been around the tourism industry pretty much my entire adult life, and I can tell you that our taste in country music is something that surprises most Americans when they hear it, because they'll be like, I haven't heard these songs for like 20 years. Exactly.
Yeah.
So, for example, if you speak to the average St. Lucian country consumer, they tell them who's, you know, about George Jones. They'll be like, oh, yeah, George Jones, this and that. But George Jones passed away a long time ago, and the hits that George Jones would have had, they don't play on radio anywhere but St. Lucia. Well, no, I don't know. You know what? I shouldn't say that like I know for a fact.
Or maybe in a very rural part of Tennessee. Who knows? Yeah.
Or, for example, or one of those country hit, like oldie radio stations.
Right.
Right. And but that sort of music is consumed heavily here. When you pass by the Magna, I didn't jump the fence. You know, so like that. Like that.
We're still jumping the fence in 2025. Yes. Yeah. No, it's interesting though. And it really speaks to how people are, the sentimentality of it. And that's one of the things I've actually even heard about. Somebody was commenting about where the Jazz and Arts Festival is. And it seems to be a lot of nostalgia. You know, of the artists, the selection of artists looking back.
The Sunday show seems to be geared towards that. And I think it's a good formula that they've put together. Where, for example, it seems to me that the nights, especially the last 3 or 4 days, they are so very well defined that you can almost say, well, you know what, this person falls within that category nicely. So World Beats, the Saturday, Saturday's World Beats, Fridays, Caribbean Fusion.
And then Kingdom Night was
on a Wednesday. Oh, man.
Now, that is a very interesting one as well.
And
how
even
that
the straight ahead jazz, too. Like
versioned over.
Absolutely. And I think when you do it like that, it's almost like you kind of cater to everybody, which is something that has been said by a lot of the organizers, that they try to cater to everybody. And I think the formula is spot on in terms of, you know, the different nights, different themes being somewhat clearly defined or somewhat, you know, little umbrella genres kind of thing that can fit, that can take different songs and, you know, fit different artists on different nights. I think that formula is really good. Sunday being nostalgic, I think that works very well as well. Mm-hmm. Because, again, going back to something that you said earlier, for example, Earth, Wind & Fire, when last have we heard a new song from Earth, Wind & Fire? And if they have a new song, I've never heard it. I'm not paying attention to it.
Right.
But at the end of the day, when you heard, do you remember it's very first time in September? Like, everyone knows that song. So there are certain songs that they will remain classics. And if you're an artist who's fortunate enough to have a large enough catalog that you can tour off of your classics, then I think you're well on your way.
And for people to act, I mean, even learning about music, I guess, and maybe at some point we need to talk about music education too. Mm-hmm. You know, the importance of actually looking back and seeing that whole evolution of music. And you know, it's okay to listen to what your grandmother might have been listening
to. You should because
understand, you know, how it has actually changed.
And
sometimes we pull things from those old sources and reinvent them, recast them
as
new musical stories.
Absolutely. And one of the things too, taking that into consideration, is that culture is always evolving. But everything has a foundation. There's a source to it. And in St. Lucia, I think we're fortunate in that we have the ability. Each St. Lucian is one of 200,000. Think of how rare it is in the context of the entire globe.
7 billion people.
But you're one of 200. That in itself already makes you special. Mm-hmm. Then on top of that too, one of 200,000, where we're in a position, not only geographically but culturally, where we can do English songs, we can do Kwayol, a St. Lucian song or a St. Lucian musician or band can get away with reggae effectively. We can get away with soca. We can get away. And when I say get away, I'm talking about being accepted as authentic. Right, mm-hmm. So authentic reggae, authentic soca, authentic this, authentic that. And here we are not necessarily taking advantage of that. Mm-hmm. Right, and I think that it's necessary for you to basically develop your cultural identity by looking back. Mm-hmm. So, for example, when I think of bands like Quavers, and that's why for me the Friday jazz on the Square was something so spectacular, because I remember hearing about the Quavers and hearing about, you know, the October 4th and the different bands from back in those days where there weren't so many DJs. There was the live music element, and people used to travel to see the bands, to travel mm-hmm. to see the True Tones. Mm-hmm. People will tell you stories about, you know, seeing whichever band at Lucifer's or some other club or some, you know. And by the way, they had some names back in the day too. I mean, they had a name of Lucifer.
Lucifer's, yes. I don't even know where that one is.
Yeah, well, somebody
I'm sure the will come and tell us about it. Yeah.
Let me tell you, or Halcyon Days, or just, again, things that were way before my time, but they'll talk about it fondly and talk about, you know, that genre, that old school genre, that, you know, live band thing where it's, you don't get that much of it anymore. And most of the live bands that we have, they do a lot of covers. And I'm like, if you really think about it, aside from soca, right, bands don't really do original music anymore. Very few bands. You have individual artists, but not many of them align with bands. So, you know, to create that element of, again, that golden era, that Quavers era, that True Tones era, where, you know, and to be honest, I might be looking at it in from a lens that I don't really know what the reality on the ground was, but
Right. Yeah. No, I want to come back to that point. It's a really important one, in fact, because I remember having a conversation with somebody about that very matter, and I want to explore that one in just a bit. But we actually do have to take in our weather report at this time, of course, and that's compliments of Tiles Plus.
This has been The Daily Dish.
One test for your home, I see. Bathroom, kitchen, pantry. Need test for your balcony. Come down to Test Plus, satisfaction guarantee. Test Plus, Test Plus, Test Plus. Big test with unbeatable cost. Customer service, A+. Need all kind of tests. Come down to Test Plus. We also got gas, and vanity. Box, dos, you'll see. Come down, don't mind nobody. We got the best test on island. Trust me. We are located Lance Road in Castries, Bossejou, Groselets, and Slack Street in Viewfort. Telephone number 453-7939. Test Plus.
For the best price and the latest style, take a little drive down to Island Style Car.
We got the time to make you go. Oh. We got the time to make you say, quality, price, service, choice. It's all an Island Style.
Visit us at our showrooms in Belarusa, Rodney Bay, on the John Crompton Highway, Castries, and behind Ruby's Gas Station on the Library Viewfort Highway. Or call us on 450-452 or 453 Tile. Island Style, Tile and Bath. When you think tile, think Island Style.
This is Radio Caribbean International. It's now time for the weather news.
And that's it, of course, to the 1.4. It's now time for your weather forecast as of 12 noon today, presented by Island Style Talent Bath. The forecast for St. Lucia Valley for the next 24 hours, the winds will be blowing from between the east and east-southeast near 21 miles per hour or 33 kilometers per hour. The weather partly cloudy and hazy, becoming cloudy at times with some light to moderate showers. And there is an advisory in here which reads persons with respiratory ailments and dust allergies are advised to take necessary precautions. Also, small craft operators and sea beavers are advised to exercise caution due to brisk winds and locally rough seas. The forecast for the lesser entities, partly cloudy to occasionally cloudy and hazy with light to moderate showers. And with a summary, the Atlantic high pressure system will... And that should be the Atlantic high pressure system is expected to generate moderate to brisk easterly winds and locally rough seas across the Eastern Caribbean region during the next few days. moist and unstable conditions lingering over the region will continue to cause cloudy periods with scattered showers over the Lesser Antilles during the next 24 hours. And this was your weather forecast as of 12 noon today, presented by Island Style Talamba.
This has been RCI's Weather News. For more information, call the Weather Hotline at 454-3452. RCI 101 number 1.
Island Style. We got the time to make you go. We got the time to make you say.
Spaces and ground, everything you need to start the house out. For the best price and the latest style, take a little drive down to Island Style Car.
We got the time to make you go. Oh. We got the time to make you say, quality, yeah. Price, service, choice. It's all an Island Style.
Visit us at our showrooms in Belarusa, Rodney Bay, on the John Crompton Highway, Cass Street, and behind Ruby's Gas Station on the Library Beaufort Highway. Or call us on 450-452 or 453-TILE. Island Style, Tile and Bath. When you think tile, think Island Style.
And welcome back to the Lunchroom on Radio Caribbean International. Now, of course, we've been speaking with Mr. Shane Ross, and he's part of an initiative, the Island Collective. Mm-hmm. And it's actually a grouping of four local artists who have put together some pretty good songs. And we've got a few of them actually available. Hopefully, we'll be able to get a chance of actually highlighting some of the music that's out there. And, of course, it is the season for that anyways. And it involves Havila King with the song Far Away, Gershom with Freedom Prayer, Sly, Long Live, Ashley Skerritt with Pull Up, and of course Shane, his production, Akai Danse. Now, Shane, before we get into all of that though, you were making a really important point about this golden era looking back and the time when you went to an event, you went to a party, and there would have been a live band. We kind of expect it when it comes to tents and to the calypso season, but and we've beyond that though.
It's not really a hype thing.
And it's interesting that you're making that point, because I remember being at the opening of jazz at the Minute Philip Park, and a Dominican was living in St. Lucia for well over nearly 20 years now. I think it was. He actually was just next to me, and he said, you know, doesn't understand St. Lucians, because he said, here you have DYP coming on. And he said, in Dominica, this would have been the headline. This would have been the main stage. There would have been no need for a Lady Lava to come in to perform. And he said, you know, and he compared, of course, DYP to Asa Banton. And I think the point that you were making too, though, and Asa Banton has a lot of his original songs. He produces a lot of the music, And you've got a lot of that in Dominica. Mm-hmm. And there's this expectation, you go to an event, you go, and you've got to have a live band. We've sort of lost that culture, if we in fact had it.
Well, I want to put in a little caveat when I said the golden era, because again, that was before my time. So perhaps I'm looking at it with a sense of nostalgia that may not necessarily be warranted, because again, I didn't experience it personally. Mm-hmm. So I'm basically, my referring to it later is based on feedback from other people, from right. the older generation. Now, as you know, we tend to romanticize things when they're gone. But what I will say is that I know for a fact that, for example, what bands used to get back in the day, the price hasn't gone up, or people still don't make as much as
right.
as they should right. for the craft. That's one side of it. The other part of it is that, in terms of the original music, I think part of the reason that the focus has been lost where that's concerned is because it's not incentivized not properly. And then on top of that too, you have technology being such that, you know, you can have a DJ and the DJ will run for the entire night.
I was about to say, is it that we got too modern too quick?
I don't I think that
our DJs won out very, very quickly over in the case of Dominica.
But there's something about a live band that just you can't put a D, and no offense to Hypebeast, the DJ, no offense, you know, but there's something about live music that it literally gets your soul moving. I mean, in a way that you can't replicate, a DJ can't replicate that.
I remember going to something at Kentry's on Jeremy Street, and he brought in this group, drum group, I think it was out of, I'm trying to remember exactly, but I think there were a lot of guys out of Dominica. I think it was a Dominican band. Excellent experience. And but you're seeing that there's a desire for that,
there
though,
is,
right? Because you see the solo
events,
and people go all around the island looking for these types of experiences.
Listen, we have an affinity to rhythm that you can't take away. As people who are who have African descent, who have East Indian descent, there's a connection to rhythm that I think if we're not losing it, we're ignoring it. And rather than taking it and allowing it to develop or to manifest itself in a more modern way, what we've done, we've essentially gotten rid of it, or we've ignored it for what we perceive is supposed to be popular, right? I remember one year listening to a lot of the soca from St. Louis. I'm like, but yo, we're really trying to sound Trini. And at the end of the day, the Trini's going around trying to sound like us.
Mm.
So, you know, where do you find that? And that was around the time of the Maga Rose rhythm being big in Trinidad.
Right.
And that 140 BPM music that just has this. But that is a St. Lucian groove. That's a St. Lucian groove with roots in West Africa, with roots in Brazil. You know, it's that sort of rhythm, that's us. And we shouldn't ignore it. You know, and I know it might sound, somebody might say, but to me, it's R&B mid Yusudu or mid does or whatever. And at the end of the day, my answer to that is simple. I'm a musician at
now,
the end of the day.
I actually wanted to come to that because I want to talk a little bit about Shane Ross, the journey, your own musical journey. I mean, where you began. I mean, obviously back in 1R32 and 2R28, you probably thought that you were a rap artist at that point. and
before
our friend,
that, I thought I was Calypso.
Thought you were Calypso before
that? Primary school, yeah, man.
And then, although friendly enough, our dear friend Mecca, Mr. Keen Ross, he went that
Keen
direction.
Carter, he said Keen Ross. Keen
Ross, I said, even better, Keen Carter, sorry, from Labry. He went that route of you know, developing
rapping,
his
rap. But he's also, obviously, he's very focused on the administrative side
of
Echo, music now.
Right.
And he's put in a number of years in terms of developing that side of it. I mean, Keen is one of the hardest working people that I know.
I think there was something quite recently through Netflix. There was a film.
Oh, Placement.
Yeah.
I mean, Keen works him alongside Dupes and their people work really hard.
Yes.
Kudos to them. Hats off to them. It's necessary. You have to... You have to push.
And then quite recently, even, I mean, he got honored through the Grammys. I think it was Yogi.
Johan Yogi, the producer, yep.
And great to see that, of course. And his own journey with his mother being so instrumental in the community of Ancillary, developing.
I worked on the jazz. There was a jazz jingle for 2014, I believe.
Oh, okay.
That's a project that he and I worked on together.
You've been
around
for a while, Shane. Are you talking way
back? Let me tell you.
No, but tell us a little bit about that, though, because in terms of, you started off with a certain genre of music that was pretty appealing to the ladies, I would probably say.
I went through all of the morphings, the metamorphoses of, you know, finding my own sound, and all of that led me back to, okay, what do I need? What I need to stand out has been right there under my nose. And I think what I ignored for a long time is the Creole aspect of it. It's such a beautiful language. The rhythms, the vibe about it is just, it's ours. That's the most important thing to me. It's ours. It's unique. It's, You can't go on ChatGPT and tell ChatGPT to write a Creole song for you.
Well, you'd be surprised. I did see Dr. Jimmy Fletcher saying that he asked ChatGPT to write a calypso, and it came out with some pretty good lyrics. I don't know about I don't know about the beat and the rhythm.
listen, I've used ChatGPT and DeepSeek and all of them, and to be honest, I've used them in the songwriting process as well. I have. Mm-hmm. I will be perfectly honest about it. Mm-hmm. However, I find there's a certain level of you know, some of this stuff, it's not, I wouldn't say basic, but cliche. It's generic, it's cliche. Yes, yeah. That's the perfect, it's mm-hmm. cliche. Some of the words are overusing, like, but this doesn't, there's no emotional weight to a lot of the words that are used. Right. You can tell that it's just, you know, somebody stringing words together for the sake of the words rhyming, even though the story might be cohesive, but the emotional weight that a human songwriter can attach to music, it's still missing. Mm-hmm. But even beyond that, as a Saint Lucian, I can attach emotional weight by simply just putting it in Creole, right? And having the rhyming structure such that somebody would understand or want to listen to it based on the fact that it's Creole. Because it's ours. Again, it is ours. And the fact that it's ours, there's I think a spiritual connection to the music, to the rhythm, to the language itself that has been ignored. Or not necessarily ignored, but has not been exploited in a way that allowed for the growth of it.
Now, your track on this Island Collective is in fact called Encaille Dansée. And we think we have that available, and let's see if we can at least maybe try to line it up. But in the meantime, maybe you could tell us about your thinking about that song.
Well, so the Island Collective is it's actually a group of three individuals. That's in the persons of Horace Darrell, Swainja Baptiste, and Thaddeus Dorville. They basically came together, Swain being the producer, Horace and Thaddeus more the administrative side. They came together and they were like, you know what, let's form this collective that we can release quality music year-round. So what happened, I think it was an initiative that they partnered with the St. Lucia Tourism Authority. I'm not exactly sure as to what's happening behind the scenes. But I was approached, Swain sent an instrumental to me. I was like, yo, this reminds me of, you know, the quavers and, you know, that sort of thing. Mm-hmm. And he's like, yeah, we want a Creole song on that.
Okay.
So then I started writing this song, and the more I wrote this, I'm like, yes, it's taking back there. And then I said to him, listen, I'm like, let's put some live drums and live bass on that. So I reached out to Juan Paris, that's in the US, and Dean Ben in the UK, and we got some live drums on there, live drums and live bass on there, and that just took this production to, like, an entirely different level. It just felt authentically St. Lucian. I can give you a little story where I was in Groseilliers Tuesday night.
Mm.
And this gentleman was passing, right? And I was just playing the demo in my vehicle. And this dude stopped next to my vehicle and he puts his phone up. I'm like, why is he coming towards me? And he comes close. I'm like, what's going on there? And the music is playing. So then I switched off because I'm like, okay, maybe I should, you know, reach under the seat. Anyway, let's not. I'm joking. But anyway, so he came closer. So then I opened the door. And he's like, sorry if I disturbed you. He's like, I was just trying to Shazam this. I'm like, oh, you won't get it on Shazam. And he's like, this is what is this song? I'm like, this song is not available anywhere. This is just a demo a friend of mine sent me. We're working on this. He's like, this is a real St. Lucian rhythm. And then he goes on to give me a story about he worked as a DJ in the Netherlands or somewhere over in Europe. And this man was a legitimate music historian. Like, he started telling me things about music and then I was like, listen to how, again, just the rhythm, hearing that rhythm kind of connected with him.
Mm-hmm.
And I promise you that is the sentiment that we have to our music. And again, I don't understand how it's something that, you know, I don't understand how did those genres that kind of reflected that, like, they just fell by the wayside. And I think part of it is because, again, the bands were not incentivized where, you know, people figured, you know what, I'll send my band in the hotel. We'll make a couple of bucks that way because there's not that many live events going on to keep us sustained as musicians throughout the year. And I mean, a whole bunch of different things. But at this point, because of how democratized music has become and how easy it is now to produce music, I think now we should just open the floodgates. I mean, again, we have a population of 200,000 people, give or take.
Mm-hmm.
To me, for so many talented people, so many great musicians that I know, so many of them, it's like, yeah, let's take it to another level. At the end of the day, let's do it because we love it, and the people will come. The finance will come.
I think we should take a bit of the Encaille Dansée in at this time, of course, to get a little taste of the rhythm. Let's go right ahead.
We'll be right back. comme si disait soleil levé. Dis-moi ça pour faire pour où ça considère. En parmi toutes femmes à place, là c'est où mes flèches. Si habima, vini doudou près d'ouvan, musique la chou compima, bye fais ou un petit mouvement, moi de ou, nou pani pou kachili, se gobe yo kay gobe, adan yo vle prepote, nou pani pou désolé.
I mean, I'm really surprised, pleasantly surprised.
That's the idea.
Because you know, they said like Saint Lucians. I mean, I think Cassava has been coming to Saint Lucia since like 1985, mm-hmm. and there's this expectation every single year. They still want more and more and more of it. But then the fact that we, in fact, you're showing that you know we can produce this music.
Yes, we can
today. And of course, I mean, it's interesting too because what we've seen is. Through the Denry segment, a different genre of, I guess you could say, a more modern twist on Creole music. Mm-hmm. But this is you're showing that the more traditional form of it, the Kadass form of it, is
absolutely
actually still very much in demand.
Absolutely, and not only that too. Like this song is supposed to demonstrate that the lyrical cohesion, the storytelling factor of it,
yes.
can still be done in a way where it's not just about you know we made that dao and stuff like that. Like you know it's. And again, I'm not knocking it. Everything has its place.
No, split in the middle is like, you know. We'll
it's, that's yeah, yeah, yeah. I mean, absolutely.
The interesting crossovers, though. I mean, a song like this, though, definitely the crossovers, I suppose, more into the French, Martinique, Guadeloupe, French diaspora, Francophonie world. I mean, it which is a huge space in
absolutely.
Itself.
I mean, that's the idea behind doing it, to tap into that. And it's funny that you should mention Cassava. Like, one of the groups that I remember... for example, anytime Midnight Groovers comes to St. Lucia, mm-hmm. they'll perform and like song after song after song, hit after hit, and you look at the way that people respond to it. It's supposed to be it's dance music.
Yes.
Right. To mm-hmm. a rhythm that is us, to a rhythm that is ours. Like that I can't stress on that enough that we need to focus on what we can genuinely consider to be ours. Even mm-hmm. though, we can get away with different genres, doing them in various ways. But, again, we still need to expand the palette, and we still need to focus on something that we could say, yeah, this is an authentically St. Lucian sound, mm-hmm. or this is right along the lines of what we need in St. Lucia. And another thing, too, I'll be honest, there's a niche that bands like Kassav, bands like Midnight Groovers, bands like Tabu Combo, there's a particular niche that when they are no longer with us, unfortunately, and there will come a time mm-hmm. that we will look back fondly, but there'll be nothing to take its place. So at the end of the day, my take is that, you know what? Here's a little bit of something that I think could have some cultural significance. Mm-hmm. So at least, you know, this is ours, too. This is a sound that we can have, too, as St. Lucian. So I'm focusing a lot on those authentic sounds with, you know, more stuff that you can dance to, really.
How important is collaboration in the music space for you right now? I mean, and obviously you're doing this Island Collective, and the importance of these links, these connections to really spread that music and make those breakthroughs.
For me, the collaboration... the collaboration that I've focused on is more on the the musicianship side of it, mm-hmm. right? So, for example, I don't personally, this is not me saying that I would not do it, but I like to create individual pieces of art.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, for example, I'll not necessarily write a rhythm or, you know, just jump on a rhythm just because everybody's doing it and mm-hmm. stuff like that. So what you find that does, it kind of limits the pool of people that you feature with. And in addition to which, what also happens is that because of the way that I kind of jump between genres and the type of music that I do, like it's like there are times I've sent instrumentals for people and they're like, yeah, but I don't really want to write on that. I can't really come up with a concept that I think would really work for that, you know? So it's important. It's absolutely necessary because people have access to various markets or various fan bases that I probably necessarily.
Because I'm just thinking like even right now. I mean, one of the hottest songs around. Is it Molly? Is it Molay? The Ghanaian girl.
Oh, Shake it to the match,
right?
That's a Jamaican.
But she she's Ghanaian. No,
Ghanaian. But we're saying like she's Ghanaian, the rhythm is
she's taking it there, right? And it's
the rhythm is a Jamaican.
Well, I'm not sure. Was it a Jamaican?
Is it a Jamaican rhythm?
I'm not too sure that it was. It's her rhythm, isn't it? It's hers.
Okay.
And, but African. Yeah, it's an African based rhythm, but it's become the version that's so popular now. I think is her Jamaican remix of it. Right. Mm. So I'm thinking that, you know, you sometimes do get these interesting crossovers.
And if you listen
that
make to
that even just grow the reach of the
but
music.
one of the biggest acts right now in Afrobeats is, if not the biggest, is Burna Boy. And Burna Boy's, I mean, you hear the Jamaican influence in his music.
Yeah.
So it's one of those things where it's like it kind of came from Africa, went to Jamaica, and then came back to Africa.
Right.
I think there's a lot of that's gonna happen. Again, especially as people realize the need for authenticity. Because even in the social media space, you realize things that go viral are things that people can detect a certain level of authenticity, mm-hmm. right? And I think, again, as St. Lucians, let's focus on what's authentically ours because we can create a market around it, right? So stuff like a Kaida, say, or anything that you know, it feels you... like any St. Lucian will know and feel when something is St. Lucian. It's one of those unspoken things where you lay a particular word, for example, our national word, and right. your ears will perk up wherever you hear it. Yeah, you know, you could be anywhere in the world and you hear that, you know that's a St. Lucian probably saying that, especially given the context that you'd probably hear it. Mm-hmm. And it's, again, it's the same sort of thing with our music. So the focus is to do more of it. Right?
It's interesting, though, because we're in a really remarkable space. And I mean, I'm just thinking again about how a lot of these Nigerian artists, the Afrobeats artists, they've been able to make that mesh between their traditional musical form,
mm-hmm.
but at the same time, their own languages are also coming in. But it's also, it has been via, I guess, a London connection, kind mm-hmm. of, if you can say that. And we're in an interesting position because we're bilingual, or multilingual, as you say, in some respects here in St. Lucia. But I'm not sure, have we been able to make that breakthrough, you know? Are we still waiting for that opportunity to really get these breakthrough moments? At an international level.
I think it depends on what you consider a breakthrough to be. So, for example, Teddy St. John had Pioca Pale, 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 right? Songs like that. Those sorts of songs are songs that I mean, from what I know, they had global appeal. I don't know what the metrics are.
Right.
And you can pick out different songs like that, you know, you detect the little bit of Creole in there and you see that this song is kind of picking up and people who don't even understand what the song is saying are actually saying it. As to how far it has gone, I don't know. I wouldn't know what the metrics are. But what I will say is that consistency is key. Let's just keep doing it. Let's just do more of it. Let's just increase the volume of it. Mm-hmm. So something will...
It's going to happen eventually.
Exactly.
Yeah?
Something will stick. And you'll have numbers on your side.
And I suppose the other big issue to market presence, you kind of have to get into the big market, so to speak, for those things to actually have to happen.
And that,
I mean, Rihanna could not have become a Rihanna if she had just been, let's say, staying in Barbados or staying in the Caribbean.
We'll never know. But what I will say is that the volume of music that's being released globally is phenomenal. It's immense. It's intense. It's insane. And then on top of that, too, you have the advent of AI.
Right.
You have so many different platforms and so many different avenues to release music to get music out. And again, because music is so easy to produce now, financially, like anybody can do it. Again, you have to me, every person owes it to themselves to find what is it that stands out about their music specifically. And again, we're one of 200,000. We have a unique culture. We have a unique identity. We can use that to stand out as St. Lucians and basically make our space, if not for a global audience, but at least to dominate our own market. Because when you have numbers like you have for the St. Lucia Jazz and Arts Festival, imagine, you know, a St. Lucian literally headlining the event. Not necessarily Sunday, because again, we know it's kind of legacy, but maybe a few years from now, have a St. Lucian headlining it, you know, whatever, but headlining. For example, Ricky T got some fantastic feedback, right, from his performance on the Friday, with a lot of people saying that, hey, this dude was... He could have been the headliner. I remember watching Meshack perform in Soufre, and I was like, "Yo, but Meshack is just as good as Sizzler," you know. And when you have those sorts of things happening, like, you know what? Let's do more of it. Let's just hit it. Like,
creating that avenue.
Yeah, let's just do it. So again, even if you don't break internationally, and again, the whole concept of something being international. To a Dominican, we're international. To a Trini, we are international. International is just something that's outside of your own borders at the end of the day. But I think that if you build it, they will come, right? If you have that level of authenticity, they will come. Imagine if you're at your home, right? Your home is quiet, whatever, and then your neighbor, you're hearing like this booming music and you're seeing a whole bunch of people going to your neighbor's home. You'll want to go and see, what is all this commotion about? You know, if the market becomes vibrant, where a lot of local music, a lot of original music is being created, consumed, and enjoyed, then people will start to hey, what is this? They'll start to take notice. I mean, look at the presence over the last year or so. I'm seeing the Pitons on my Instagram and my Facebook feed like crazy. Yeah. Jake Paul, a whole bunch of people. I feel like something's happening, and now is the time for us to strike while the iron is hot. Let's create that uniquely St. Lucian thing. Let's define it better. Let's have more people, you know, contributing towards the development of something that we can say that this is ours in a way that nothing else is.
Awesome way of ending. Thanks so very much, Shane Ross. Of course, he's part of the Island Collective, making it happen, producing music all throughout the year. And we're certainly welcoming that and that initiative. Shane, there's always a lot more that we can talk about, and I think we're going to have to do that again, because it was really, really rich. We have Carnival coming up very soon. I think Teddy needs to bring you on to give some commentary regarding all of that happening too. Any calypsos coming out from you?
Maybe projects. We'll see. We'll see.
Okay. Sounds awesome indeed. Gentlemen and ladies out there, thank you so very much for listening to us here at the Lunchroom on Radio Caribbean International. Of course, thanks to Shane and Hyper making it happen behind the scenes. And we do hope that you have a very blessed and enjoyable weekend. Take care.